Life is hard. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to Genesis 28, if you would. Genesis chapter 28. And we're going to go to verse 20. Just 28, verse 20. Jacob's left home, setting off on his own. And we're going to look in here at a vow that he vowed to God. Now, what I want to preach on this morning is finances, church finances, your finances, how you handle your own money. Now, a couple things I want to make plain here. One of them is this. This is the house of God. We're not the only house of God. But this is God's house. Okay? We have people who are members here. Members of the family. We have people who are guests here. Okay? And I'm going to be preaching here really for members. But there's going to be a lot of instruction for guests. Now, we've had different ones that have been over at our house for dinner and such. Anybody here we ever charged? Said, look, you know, you need to pay a share of this. You know, those hot dogs cost money there. No, we've never done that. But I have adult boys that I hit up for grocery money. They're part of the household. I hit them up for it. They're part of this house. And so we have the same type of thing in the house of God. You know, for members here, well, collective responsibility. For guests here, by golly, if you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. That's never been a prerequisite. Right. Never been anything where people had to come here and give money or anything of that sort. But I want to go over some spiritual principles of giving and see if the Lord will bless us in this. So it says this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It's conditional. You know, if I go and he brings me back again and brings me back to my father's house in peace and gives me enough to wear, he's going to be my God. All right. And verse 22, and this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Okay. Now, that's the second time that really a tithe is mentioned in the Word of God. The first time is when Abraham meets Melchizedek. It says he gave him tithes of all. And that's before he paid back all the other kings and anything of that sort that they took out, but he gave him tithes of all. And the thing is this, what I wanted to go over is this. This is before the law. This isn't something where God's law said, this is a man voluntarily said, this is how I'm going to set my life up. Now, with the tithe, what's that mean? It means a tenth is what it means, a tenth, okay? In fact, he said it there, a tenth of all that I get, I'll give. But he said all that God gives me. So A, if you have anything God didn't give you, hold on to it. Okay? Just hold on to it. If it's just something you got and you didn't need God and whatever, I had a person tell me, I don't need God. Okay? And they weren't being smart alecky. They weren't being bitter. They just took an assessment of their life, what they had in their life and such, and just said, you know, I really don't need God. You have people in your church, and kind of the insinuation was they're kind of losers, but, you know, they need God. And I don't need that. And so if you've got something God didn't give you, and it's just, you know, hey, you know, just you're clever, and you're just a little bit better than other people at what you do, and maybe you work harder, an old-fashioned work ethic or something, and God didn't give it to you, hold on to it. Keep it. All right? God forbid you put anything in here, God, you know, that's not part of what God gave you. But if there's things that God gave you, then Jacob vowed he'd give a tenth. Now, when the law was written, that was put into the law. We're not under the law. If for, in the time of grace, this church isn't run by the law. We don't do that. There's, is anybody here, when we talked about membership with you, that we sat down and told you, gosh, you know, if you're not giving a tenth, you're not going to be a member of this church? No, there's nobody here to do that. But there are churches who do. Maybe that's not unreasonable, but it's just not something we do. I go back and I tell a story. It's a story I've loved. I've always loved it about this church. I hadn't been here long. I had a woman come to me and just say, look, my husband won't let me tithe. And she was troubled over that. And I told her, I said, well, go obey your husband. You know, let's not cause trouble in your family or something over the house of God. Rather, you just come in the house of God and be here and such. And later on, I talked, and at that time, Dick Botens and Paul Gordon were my two deacons, and I talked to them and told them, and you know, both of them said, boy, you said the right thing. And both of them said, it took us a long time to learn to tithe. You know, it just took us a while to learn that we were better off when we gave a tenth of our money to the house of God, that really we paid our bills better, that our family ran better, that things went better when we did that than when we didn't. And they just said it didn't come instant. It was something we had to learn. And I've learned that with every couple, every person who ever learns to tithe, that there's always a point where you're tested on it.
Yes.
How firmly do you believe in this?
That's right.
You know, the electric company will test you. How firmly do you believe in this? They come shut the power off, you believe in it real firm. You know? And, you pushed it one day too long as far as that goes. And but the thing is, you have people who do that with God. They start out, they write a tithe, they got a big paycheck, all right, I tithe, check, man, throw it in there, go the next week's a little tighter, then the next week, they're not sure how they're going to pay the insurance, how they're going to pay the electric, and how they're going to put food on the table, and they don't pay the tithe check. And there's not a family here that hasn't struggled with that. And there's not a family here that hasn't failed in that. There's not, and I'm talking about committed tithers, who had to learn the hard way that this is what you do. Now, as for me and my family, the tithe check just goes in first. That's all there is to it. There's not enough groceries, there's not enough groceries. Does anybody notice my wife and I maybe lacking food, being like boys don't have? No, we've never gone through anything like that, okay? God's always taken care of us, and never the same way twice. You know, it's that week you sit there and think to yourself, boy, we're going to really have to pull the belt tight this week and we're just not going to make it or whatever else. Something will happen, a check will come in the mail or something will go on and all sorts of food comes in. So then the next time you throw in that tithe check, it's no problem, God will take everything. You really do have to pull the belt in the next week. And you know what the miracle is? You made it. You get through it. Then, you know, the next paycheck comes, and you really did make it through that period of time. And it's just, and anybody who's ever lived in tithe has just learned that life. But you know what I've learned about people who don't tithe? That there's weeks they're not sure how to make it. There's weeks that they don't know how they're going to pay the bills. There's weeks they get a surprise check. There's weeks that they don't, and they pull the belt in and not sure how to make it. And you know what I've learned? To the tither, to the person who doesn't tithe, they each go through equal hard times and that kind of stuff. It's just one's living by faith and the other isn't. Okay? The one, you know, I knew an old Jew, and he'd been a concentration camp victim, honorable man in many ways, but he just told me, he said, I believe on the shirt on my back, and I don't believe in anything more. Okay? That's all I believe in anymore. And there's people, you know, you don't say that with your mouth, but you live that way. You think that way. You know, if somebody will watch your actions, they think that's just what you are. You know, if you talk to him, he's a little bit bitter. You know, the Germans killed his family. You know, they put him in a concentration camp. And, you know, he went through anybody here going through that? Okay? And yet, there's a lot of people going through some bitter things. You've gone through some hard things, and it makes you all bitter and upset. Somebody was talking this morning about a family member there. We'll go to the house of God. Grieved over that family member and such. Why? Because they went through something bitter, something hard. And, you know, those things go on. It's all part of life. It's all part of what you do. You know, my wife's gone through some bitter things with me. She has. You know what? She stuck it out. But some sweet times. been some good times. Things are going right. The house of God's the same way. People who give, it's the same way. It goes on that way. Now, I want to go with you to the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. If you go back, if you go to Matthew and go back one, you'll get to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. I have a lot of verses written down, but I don't pretend that I can hit a lot of these. We'll probably be on this for a couple of weeks. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. In fact, we'll go to verse 8. We'll go a little bit further. We'll go to verse 8. Bill Randall, my mentor, tells a story of watching an old Methodist preacher one time in Hickory, North Carolina, get up to take a meeting in a mass meeting in the town, get up to take an offering in a mass meeting in the town. And they sent the ushers up. And the ushers came up, and the old Methodist preacher asked the first one, he says, "Do you tithe?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." He asked the other one, "Do you tithe?" He says, "No." He said, "Go sit down. If you'll rob God, you'll rob me." And yeah. And he remembered that as a kid. Wow. But said verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, where will we rob thee? In tithes," and look at the second thing, "and offerings." They're two different things. They're not the same. A tithe and an offering aren't the same thing. Okay. Verse 9, "You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation." Now, let me say this. There are some of you sitting here, and this is not every. There's people here having financial troubles, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you've tithed.
Yes, sir.
But I'll be sure, if we have a group this big, there's at least someone in here who can't ever get ahead because they won't ever tithe.
That's right. Okay?
You just can't ever get ahead, and it won't ever work because you will not tithe. That's, you can just be sure in a group this size, there's at least one of you. That's the reason you're in this, the boat you're in, okay? Now, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, if you go to the older families in this church that have tithed all their lives, ask them, "Did you suffer? Are you in the poorhouse today? You know, is it one of those things where your children starved and, you know, you didn't have adequate, you know, clothing and vehicles?" No, the old families in this church will tell you, "No, we've always had plenty. We've always had everything we needed and such." And it wasn't always on the timing you wanted it. Okay, you know, you say, "I'll put my tithe check in now, I expect by Tuesday at 5 o'clock, enough money for the insurance to be in." And you know what? It may not be there by 5 o'clock on Tuesday because God doesn't work on your schedule. Right? Old R.G. Lee preached a message many years ago, 50-some years ago, "Payday Someday." God doesn't pay on the days we think that God has to pay. That's both in his punishments and in his rewards.
Yes.
He doesn't do that. Okay. But he says, "Pay to the storehouse." Now, there was a country western song 30 years ago or so where the guy would sing and said, "Kenny gets on the radio and says to send money to God, but he gives you his address."
Yeah.
All right? And, well, the thing is, if you're going to give money to God, where would you give it? Where would you take it if you're going to give money to God? You know, there's the old joke. I almost said juke because it's a joke on Jews, but there's the old joke, you know, where they... the Jew and the Catholic priest and the Protestant minister are talking about what they do with the offerings. And, you know, the Catholic priest says, "Well, our church has these laws," and the Protestant minister says this, and the old Jew says, "Well, I just toss it all up in the air, and what God wants, he keeps." But the thing is, where would you send it? Well, to the storehouse, is what God said. Now, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, verse 16, or chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16, we're going to start the first verse, talk about the collection, okay? First Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him where? In store, okay? Where does he get that word from? He gets that from the book of Malachi. Where do you bring it? You lay in store, okay? As God hath prospered him. Now, how much did he tell you to bring? He said, as God prospered you. Well, what if Jody is making $1,000 a week and Tanya's making $50 a week? Did it tell them to bring the same amount of money? Did not, did it? It said as. That's a proportional thing. As God prospered you. Okay? And if it's not God that prospered you, hold on to it. Man, if you just did it by the same, if you didn't need God, just hold on. We don't want it here. If you got money that God didn't give you, please don't put it in this basket, okay? You know, and just and tell him. I want you to go out and hold that money in your hand. I want you to hold it up and say, you didn't give me this. I got this on my hand.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I didn't need you for this. This didn't come from me. Tell him, all right? You know, have the conviction of your actions.
Yes, sir.
Have it. You know, be the man or woman that you tell everybody you are. Really be that. And go out there and show. Take your checkbook and say, this didn't come from you, all right? There's that old story of Happy Reveal. It ran a mission house in Indiana for years and years. And John R. Rice told the story of wanting to go talk to him one morning. And his wife said, oh, I never let anybody back there when he's praying. And she said, well, I know you've traveled a long ways. And he went back there and the man was praying, but he was talking so much like he was talking to another person that John R. Rice didn't realize he's praying to God. And you know what Mappy was doing? Mappy said, he's like, Lord, here's two sets of bills. This is mom and my bills here, and every one of them's paid. These are your bills, and they're not. Your name's going to stink in this town if something's not done about it. And, and he said, wow, would you talk to God that old Pappy Revealed did? You know, when he just ran a mission house for 50 years in Indiana and got to be known by all the old men of God as one of the holiest men they ever met and saved so many gutter bums off the streets and that kind of thing. He just had that kind of relationship. Well, why don't you do all one of those? If you've got money God didn't give you, go out there and tell him, hey, you didn't give me this. I don't have to tithe off. This is mine and my family's. Just tell him that. Make sure he understands, you know. You tell other people, you run your mouth to other people, run your mouth to God, okay? Run your mouth to him. Tell him about it. Get on your knees in front of your family. Get your friends around and hold that up and say, this is for me, okay? We're not sharing this with God's people. We're not sharing it with them. Tell them. Okay? Don't be some little weasel.
Yes, sir.
All right? So the thing is, it says this in verse 3. And when I am come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Okay? Now, the thing is, in Baptist churches, we pick our church. This is one of the places that says that, whom you should choose, okay? Whom you choose for that. We choose our own treasures for that. I've been criticized in this church for having a woman as a treasurer. Now, my treasurer is more of a man than most men, and that has nothing to do with their femininity whatsoever, all right? It doesn't. It has nothing to do with their femininity, nothing to do with anything else. It just has to do with the resolve, you know, that idea, this is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen that way, all right? And such. But all I've dealt with so far is the idea of the tithe. I am a member of the Black Creek Baptist Church. For me, this is the storehouse. This is where I bring that money that I have set in store.
Right.
I do not choose what to do with it. I know people who do. They say, well, my tithe is X amount of money a week. This week I'm going to send some to a TV evangelist. This week I'm going to buy something for the church, whatever else. I'm a member of this church. My tithe goes in here. The moment it goes in there, okay, I have, if we have 40 people in a meeting voting on what to do, I have 1/40th of the decision what to do with that money. Okay, that's all I have. I have no more than that. Okay, and it's not mine. It's God's money. It's brought into the house of God. You say, well, I don't think this is the house of God. What are you doing here?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what is this, a charade? Yeah. You know, there's a lot better things to do on Sunday morning that, you know, than sit around and pretend it's something. If I thought this was the house of God, then I'm going to handle it like it's the house of God. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. And what I'm talking here about mature Christian living. Not everybody's a mature Christian. Sammy Allen talked how for years he tried to get everybody in his church on the same page. Trust me, just couldn't get them on the same page. And he said he got up one morning and realized that even Moses had to leave 2.5 tribes behind when he crossed over the river. And he just said, you know what? He went up one morning to his church and said, you know what? Some of us are crossing Jordan. The rest of you want to stay here, stay here. Okay? But the rest of us were crossing Jordan. You know what? If some of us want to cross Jordan, you know what that means? It means live a life unto God.
Yes.
Live it all the way that God wants it. As much as I know how, as much of power is in me. I'm not talking about being some holier than thou religious fanatic. God forbid. If you're that way, there's other churches you can go to. All right? We're not interested in that kind of. We're talking about real people, real love, real fears, real skills, real abilities, real wants, real lives. Okay? All living in the house of God together and sharing common burdens and problems. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Now, you notice there were two things we talked about. One was tithes, but the other was offerings. We saw that come up. Now, what's the difference in that? Well, a tithe is, again, that tenth of what you make. Somebody said, well, the government took $50 out. I'm not going to tithe on that. I do. Okay? Just because the government takes it out, it's not going to affect my tithe. Okay? I made it. That what the government took out is one of the bills I owe money. Medicaid, Social Security, all those different things they take out, income taxes, blah, 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 they take that out. Those are my bills. I tithe before my bills are paid, okay? For me, I always look and see what my base is. Now, this church gives me, for example, every week $150 that's expected is expense money, okay, that I can spend on expenses. And every year, I give the treasurers a copy of that. Jennifer's got them. Ashley's got them. Do I fulfill my expenses? Is there one of those? Yeah, it's, in fact, it's always far more when that expense money goes in there than that 150. But you know what? I still tithe off that expense money. They don't ever give me that. If it runs through my account, it goes into my account. It's tithed, okay? Income tax year, it's tithed. I mean, it's tithe. It's gonna. You know why? Because I've learned a fear of God. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because I'm a bad person. And I've had a lot of troubles with God over my life. A real lot of troubles with God. And God's had a real lot of troubles with me. And I have learned this shotgun relationship with him in many things. And I have learned that if I'll tithe that money, it all goes a lot better than if I don't. I've owed the IRS money and I've owed God money, and to be honest with you, the IRS handled it better. I'm just telling you. I called the IRS and said, you know, hey, look, I owe this and I can't pay this. Why can't you pay it? I said, here's why I can't pay it. They said, you know, we're going to mark this down as debt but uncollectible right now. When that changes, let us know. Well, God didn't do that. Really did. If you've ever had to call the IRS and talk, they're the most polite, wonderful people in the world. God's always polite, wonderful, but he gets his. Okay? And those who have learned that fear learn that he gets his. These things happen. You know, and you know, you pastored for a while. After a while, you hear these stories. I had my tithe was $60.97, but I wasn't going to pay it this week. And then the car broke down, and they handed me the bill. It was $60.97. You know, and how many of those stories have you heard if you lived long enough and talked to people and such? But again, am I ordering anybody here that you have to? No, you don't want to. Don't do it. But if you want to cross over and live a little closer to God and live with your conscience free, and boy, there's nothing like a free conscience. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Okay? You'll learn to tithe. Now, what's an offering then? It's money that you just want to offer. You just want to give it. You just want to do it. Okay? You know, my wife has her own little account that we set aside. It's her money. It's her pin money to do with that she wants. And it's actually a percentage of my Radio Shack money goes into her account. I'll tell you, you're going to get so much money this week. She's happy. Her little Amazon account. And, she saves a lot and does this and that and such. And yesterday, she bought a couple of videos on diet or whatever and such. And she was just a little discouraged or whatever. And I said, call the bank and transfer the money from our account into your account. I'm going to pay for those. Okay? Did I owe her that? No, not at all. It was an offering, something I wanted to do for her. And it cheered her up a little bit. I got a good breakfast out of it. Okay? But it cheered her up. I didn't owe her that. It wasn't part of her agreement. But I wanted to offer that to her. I want you to have this. So what is an offering? An offering is where you go above and beyond your tithe. They're never the same. Jim has pointed out wisely, because Jim, as a trustee, takes it extremely seriously. Taught the other trustees the same thing. Takes it extremely seriously. Watching carefully what goes in there. And a lot of times, if we do special offerings and such, he's kind of suspected there's people split their tithe. Okay? There's just indications when you watch how much money he's saying. I say, my tithe's $60. I'll put 30 in that special offering, 30 into the tithe. Well, no, please don't do that. Don't give anything to the special offering if you're just going to take your tithe money and do that. Okay? Don't do that. You may have thought that was the right thing to do, but it's not, okay? If you want to tithe, but if you want to do it your own way, have at it, all right? We got some people here, your own way hasn't done really well in life, but you haven't gone out of that yet. I had a guy in Vermont one time, used to tell me all the time, nobody can tell me what to do. And I remember preaching one time and just said, and some of you say, nobody can tell me what to do. And you know what? Everybody who watches your life thinks the same thing. No one can tell you what to do. Okay? No one. And I remember all day long, him sitting on a swing in the back of his house, just swinging on it. It just stumped him. I remember looking out the window, and he's just on that swing. And he went to his old house and just sat there, because that had been his whole life. No one could ever tell him what to do. They just couldn't. And it just showed. You want to know something about successful people? People have been able to tell them what to do. And every once in a while, you'll have a rock star, a basketball star, who makes it all the way to the top, and no one was able to tell them what to do, and everybody wants to make them the hero. You know what I tell people? I'll ask them sometimes, what do tadpoles become? And they'll say, frogs. Oh, yeah, that's right, sweetheart. But you know what? Most tadpoles become fish food. That's right. They're supposed to be. Otto knows that. All right? The rest of you didn't. You don't learn from Otto, all right? But the thing is, most tadpoles, you go out there in the spring and you look, there's all those thousands of little tadpoles. There's not thousands of frogs come out in summer.
Two or three, really.
You know what the rest of them, they got eaten by fish. You know what the average kid is going to make it with his guitar? He's just going to get eaten by fish. The average kid with a basketball, I'm going to make it to the top. He's just going to get eaten by fish. He's not going to make it. And you know what the most pathetic thing in the world is? Is somebody 24, 25 years old who has been unbelievably successful and never known failure. And you talk about the most bitter, awful lives on this earth. Go read their stories. Suicidal, bitter, can't ever form relationships, nothing ever works right. It's an awful thing. And yet we have some people here that no one can tell you what to do. No one can tell you. You're just going to do things the way you want to do them and such, and you'll never learn the lessons from that. But if you're one of those who does want to hear, who does want to learn, I'm trying to teach you how to handle your money a biblical way, okay? First of all, tithe, bring that tithe into the storehouse. People always say, well, you live off that. That's right. I've made the observation. I'm going to brag on Pastor Hain here for a little bit. There's more to brag on than for me. But the thing is, and I'm going to talk about him in a sense, and I'm going to embarrass him, but he's a big boy. He can put up with it. Okay? He ran a church that he started for 40 years and built in a cornfield in Pennsylvania in a small, poor town. You know the biggest excuse ever given for, you know, Black Creek can't do well? It's just poor in a small town. I'd say, well, what's going on over there, Grace? Okay. Poor town, western Pennsylvania. At one point, right at the brink of 200, week after week after week, you come in there and trying to find a place to sit, okay? And in every sense of what any preacher is taught about building churches met every single measure of success. Okay? Mission given, 80, 90,000 a year at a minimum. Okay? Going out consistently. Not a family in that town that wanted, if there was a true heartbreak or hardship, that wasn't taken care of. Now, imagine if he had built an auto body plant someplace to do auto body, and he had been as successful in auto body, or maybe a cookie factory, okay? Well, let's say he built something like that, and had been as successful in his career field as he was in preaching. Absolutely, hit the pinnacle, hit the top, did everything exactly right. Do you think him and his wife would be living on 19th Street in Olean now? Do you think he'd be working as a janitor for the Olean Library right now? No. So if you're one of these people who thinks that we're just in it for the money, would you do me a favor and shut your mouth?
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
That's right.
Okay? I can make a lot more money than I can being a pastor in Rock Creek Baptist Church. I mean, a lot more money. Come on over to live with us for a week, okay? Come on over there to a place where you go, you know, the floors tore up and stuff. And you know what? I have people in this church who it's agony to them that my house is that way, and it's partly that way because we have other priorities of what to take care of first. But I have other people in here who have fought. You know, Jim's famous statement to me, I don't care if you're happy. In other words, I'm going to take care of you. I don't care if you're happy. You know? But the thing is, if I'm in this for the money, there's, you know, I'd go into TV evangelism or something of that sort. I'd be selling you handkerchiefs that, you know, I've wept on, the big box is in that. So next week we're going to get into this idea of offerings, but I want to say this in a practical sense as we wrap this up. Last year, the trustees did the work, made the decision, the church then voted to back them up, that we would save a lot of money to go to propane. We clearly are saving a lot of money heating this church, doing propane. We still have parts of this church that have to heat with heating oil as it is, okay? Now, Crab, we asked Rinker to put in propane. They couldn't put in a system that we needed. Crab Oil out of Arcade could. Okay. We really tried to stay with Rinker, and they appreciate it because we really did try. They just couldn't fit our needs. They didn't have a big enough unit to do it. But one of the things we found out turning over to Crab Oil is that Crab Oil charges $1 a gallon less for fuel than what we pay Rinker. Now you think about that. $1 a gallon less. But we can't switch to them because we have a bill with Rinker, and it's just, You know, poor families will switch back and forth with their providers and mess up the old, so they all have an agreement with each other. You have to pay out the old one for the new one. Well, we've always been on a program where we paid monthly and such. So we owe Rinker currently $1,500. If it's paid off, we can have our fuel $1 a gallon less, okay, than what we're paying now. So the suggestion came, why don't we take up a special offering for that? Where people say, yeah, I'd love to do that. I've instructed the treasurer, I would next week's check, my entire amount that I get for expenses, put that into Rinker, okay? I don't want to take that home with me. I want that entire thing to go in there. So those envelopes are there, but you don't need an envelope. If you handed her the money, if you wrote it on your check, that's what it's for, or if you put it in an envelope, we're going to pay Rinkers off. And then go and start getting our fuel $1 a gallon less, okay? So that's not your tithe money, please. Don't do that with your tithe money. And you don't have to do it. No. Jennifer or Ashley, if I ever come up to you and ask who gives, never. I don't want to know who gives.
Amen.
I don't want to know who's put the money into this church, okay? I don't want to know where that, I don't want to look at you and do ching ching, all right? You know, if you want to see that, come into Radio Shack. Sorry, you walk in, I go ching ching, you know, you walk in the door there, all right? And said, I don't want to do that here. That's not the relationship I want to have. You know, some of the ladies, remember when I first came here, I asked them to pay the old minister, and I said, I'll work for 12 weeks for free if you'll pay him for 12 weeks, all right? I didn't come here to get money.
That's right.
I didn't come here for money. All right, Pastor, would you come close as we've gone a little bit long here?